Monster Man, episode 265, Vegipygmy and Verm, or maybe Vermy. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through the V chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. That's right, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $5 level, you'll also get the opportunity to pick a topic for a special episode of Monster Man all your own, in addition to also getting Patron Deities, my other podcast, which is just about to wrap up its series on Native American mythology. So thank you very much to Ben Hewlett. Your support really means a lot to me. All right. So our first monster for today is the Vegipygmy, and the Vegipygmy is on one level kind of a strange monster, and on one level not all that strange at all. Let's begin with the way in which it is not that strange. The Vegipygmy is a little plant guy. Just like the name suggests, are we okay with the name pygmy these days? I believe that has certainly, that is not how the human cultures that have historically been referred to that way are now referred to, but I don't know. And they're pretty small. The leaders are a bit taller, so they get up to about 4'6". That's 135 centimeters for my metric listeners. And they are, yeah, they're basically kind of relatively low intelligence. I mean, actually, specifically, the first thing it says about them, they're vegetable creatures of low intelligence. And they're basically just goons. They're sort of goblins for scenarios where goblins aren't appropriate. And in that sense, they're fine. There's a little discussion of their reproduction. They reproduce either by kind of budding off of themselves or through the means of russet mold, which we discussed earlier, right? Russet mold has got a separate entry. So in that sense, they're fine. They're just another low HD humanoid, only this one's kind of a plant guy. No problem there. The weird thing about the Vegipygmy is the construction of this entry. And I wonder if this is to do with the way in which text may have been recycled from the place where the Vegipygmy first appeared. These are one of those monsters that first appeared in a scenario. Specifically, they're from S3 Expedition to the Barrier Peaks, which makes a lot of sense because that's a lot of weird monsters first appear in that one. That's the scenario where the Froghemoth first appears, for instance. And the idea there, I guess, I don't know if the Vegipygmies are actually aliens in that scenario or if there's just kind of like consistent with the sort of gonzo tone of the module, there are a lot of those kind of creatures. Either way, the Vegipygmy entry is very strange. For example, there are sort of two descriptions of what they look like, and there are two descriptions of what they eat, one at the beginning of the entry and one at the end. The weirdest thing about the Vegipygmy is that a whole other monster, the Thorny, is hidden in the Vegipygmy text, right? Not in the stat block. It's not like when you have next episode, we're going to look at the vulture, and that, like a lot of animals, has got two stat blocks, one for the giant kind and one for the normal kind. But this one is just sort of hidden in the text. There are the stats for Thornies, who are basically like the Vegipygmy's dogs, right? So Vegipygmies have this other plant species that they've basically domesticated. That's really strange. Off the top of my head, I cannot think of another instance of that in one of the books. We've looked at hundreds of monsters, 500 or 600 at this point, so I'm not saying it's not there, but it's very unusual. And I wonder if that's because, and again, I have not played Expedition to the Barrier Peaks, but I wonder if there are Thornies in it and then they just realized like they'd forgotten to put them in Monster Manual 2. We've seen that in some cases where it became clear in Fiendfolio that there were like amendments that suggested that part of the book had already been laid out or the text had already been written and it wasn't going to be modified. So an example would be the way in which the Dark Stalker refers to the Dark Creeper but not the other way around. So that's kind of weird. Also a bit weird that the Russet Mold, which is, Vegipygmies are so important to the Russet Mold, but the Russet Mold is only kind of mentioned very briefly at the end of the entry, and it suggests that the layers of Vegipygmies would have shriekers in them, which makes perfect sense, but it also kind of makes sense that there would be russet mold there, but doesn't say that. So I wonder if this is a bit of a patchwork monster entry, right? Not a patchwork monster, but a patchwork monster entry that includes both new material and stuff that's recycled from Expedition to the Barrier Peaks, with resulting duplication. Venture Pygmies never really caught on in the same way that, like, Myconids did, right? Myconids are kind of the comparable monster. And Venture Pygmies, although they're in second edition, they're in other later editions, and now I believe they're back because they feature in the 5th edition module Tomb of Annihilation. I think they're in one of the later 5th ed monster books. I wouldn't swear to it. But I feel like they just don't have the popularity that Myconids do. They're sort of... They're fine. There's nothing wrong with them. But they're kind of... They're not as interesting as Myconids. You know, Myconids fulfill your kind of plant... Even though they're not plants, they're fungi. But they fulfill your fungal monster kind of slot. And then they also have this interesting stuff with their culture and the spores and what have you. Whereas Vegipygmies kind of have a similar thing with the russet mold, but it's just not as much fun as the Myconid spores. But they're fine. I mean, if you need some little plant guys for the player characters to fight, Vegipygmies are an excellent solution to that problem. Next up, we got the Verm, or maybe the Vermi, V-E-R-M-E. And the Verm is basically a gigantic armored catfish with a mouth full of needle-like teeth. It is very big indeed. It can grow up to 80 feet long, that's 24 meters for my metric listeners. And it's very, like, the first thing that struck me about the Verm as I was reading it is that this monster entry feels very old-fashioned to me, because it is a big aquatic monster that can, like, knock your boat over and swallow you whole. And that's very Monster Manual 1 for me. That's a very 1977 vintage monster. Monster Manual 1 was full of things that were going to swallow you whole. I assume because somebody's campaign was like going around on a pirate ship doing dandy pirate stuff. Otherwise, I can't imagine why it's the case. But so here we have the Verm, and it is quite effectively drawn here, giving it a catfish look. Catfish are kind of grotesque looking anyway, so when you ugly the face up a bit and add sharp teeth, that's even more horrifying. And then, furthermore, the description's quite vivid, so it says that the Verm can swallow creatures as large as a water buffalo, and that's a really interesting example of choosing a comparison to create an evocative image in a way that doesn't necessarily give more information, right? I don't have an instinctive sense of how big a water buffalo is. I very seldom see water buffalo. And I'd have to look it up. If you said creature size of a cow, I'm perfectly willing to accept that a cow and a water buffalo are like more or less the same size. Maybe a water buffalo is a little bit bigger. I'm not sure. But it still says a very different thing to say the size of a cow or to say the size of a water buffalo. North American bison are a little smaller than you think, but they're still pretty big. But water buffalo puts us in this kind of, you know, I'm envisioning, I don't know, where do you get water buffalo? Thailand, Vietnam, kind of a Southeast Asian environment, bustling ports, marshy river deltas. Great, like that sounds terrific. I don't think the Verm would really fit upriver because it's enormous, but. And so, it just with that comparison, it tells us a little bit more about the monster, even without actually telling us anything about the monster. So I quite like that. And just interesting to see how they're kind of fashions in monsters, because this type of creature was very common in Monster Manual 1, but we found that they are comparatively rare here. So it's sort of nice to see one. Anyway, that's about all the monsters that we have time for today. $2 and higher Patreon subscribers can expect a new episode of Patron Deities coming this week, and in our next episode of Monster Man, we're going to finish off the V-chapter as we look at the Vilstrak, the Vulchling, and the Vulture, both comma giant and comma ordinary, here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.